Kentucky General Assembly has again introduced a plethora of bills, and chief among them is the pension bill. We're going to be discussing the pension bill along with other proposed legislation by our state lawmakers. Stay with us. This is Inquirer. From the Messenger Inquirer, I'm Don Wilkins, and joining me are state government and COPS reporter Jim Mays and city government reporter Austin Ramsey. So let's start with the pension bill. No one would disagree that pension reform is overdue, but what we can't agree on is how to fix it. So nonetheless, we have Senate Bill 1, sponsored by Joe Bowen, an Owensboro Republican, who we're all familiar with. But before we get into the pension bill, I'm curious about Mr. Bowen, if he ever indicated why he wanted his name attached to this bill. You know, it's one of the most contentious issues I can remember coming out of Frankfort, and he's certainly not going to make friends with any of the teachers. Austin, you know, we talked about this yesterday, and you seem to have some insight about why Bowen is the sponsor of this bill, even though there are many authors to it.
Yeah, Don, well, thanks for having me on the show, first of all. And yeah, you know, I don't think I have insight on this. I think anyone covering the legislature has insight on this. Anyone who has any familiarity with the goings-on in Frankfort. Joe Bowen, for as long as I've known him, has been the go-to face for pension reform. It was only natural for him to go ahead and sponsor the bill. But he did yesterday at a state and local government committee meeting. He did point out that, like you said, there were many authors to this bill and there could have been any number of sponsors or co-sponsors to it. But yeah, Joe Bowen has made his intention clear to retire. And I think that this has been a landmark issue for him for quite a while.
So, Jim, you have been following this need for pension reform for many years. How did we get here?
The state has underfunded the pension system for years. There was analysis where they determined that the underfunding was only about 15% of the problem. Others will certainly disagree with that. The pension system is an investment, and the investments did not perform up to expectations for several years. I'm not sure if the downturn in the economy had something to do with that, and they might not be sure either, because transparency into the system was a big issue. That's why Senator Bowen had a transparency bill last year. And frankly, there are simply more people drawing pensions than there are paying into the system. That leaves us with a deficit somewhere between $40 and $60 billion, according to the estimates.
So what's the latest on the Senate Bill 1 and the pension plan, and what are the major components to it?
The bill makes a lot of changes from the governor's proposal, which we received back in the fall. When I was talking with Senator Bowen last week, I asked him, well, how does this work? And they have a pay down. They have an annual pay down schedule. He described it very similar to paying down your mortgage on your house. Some of the changes that it makes to the governor's proposal is that it keeps those people who are in defined benefit plans, they'll stay in their plans until they retire, as opposed to going into a 401k type plan after 27 years of service. They hated that idea. It makes a pretty significant change to people who are in the hybrid 401k plans. They'll no longer receive a guaranteed 4% return annually. Instead, they'll basically be guaranteed that they won't have a loss, that what they invest, they'll get to keep. And Austin addressed this somewhat in his story yesterday. What it does do is it diminishes or it cuts the cost of living adjustment for retirees. I understand they're very upset about that.
All right, so Jim, so let's talk about why are the teachers so upset about this pension bill?
Primarily, it gets back to the issue of the cost of living adjustment, the COLA. That affects people who have already retired, and they say, well, this was promised us. This was a contractual promise, and you can't go back and change that now. That's the main bone of contention I've heard about the teachers.
So let's switch gears a bit. This year is the long session for the General Assembly. So tell our listeners, Jim, about what this means and how far along are they in this long session?
This is a budget year, of course, so we're working on the next two-year budget. The governor put out his proposal right about the time of the State of the Commonwealth. It wasn't very popular, but governor's proposed budgets are just that, proposals, and the General Assembly can do as little or as much with it as they like. The House budget came out yesterday, and it's pretty interesting in that it actually raises some taxes. That's something that you never would have thought would have come out of a GOP budget, but it would propose to raise taxes on cigarettes. It would put a tax increase on opioid prescriptions, although they say that wouldn't be paid by the consumer, but by the distributor. Those tax increases, the idea would be to reverse some of the education cuts that were in the governor's proposal. You know, the governor, for example, he told districts that they were going to pay their own transportation fees from now on, and some districts said we will go bankrupt if that happens. By raising the tax aid, actually raise the what they call SEEK formula, which is the average daily per student fee. So that'd be a benefit.
Yeah, I know. We had Dr. Brake on here talking about that issue, and how the schools are trying to battle that part with the SEEK and the transportation funding and so forth. And so all of this is going on right now. And so where are they in the whole timeline of the General Assembly right now? Because when we talk about the short session, the long session, and the deadlines that we're talking about in order to file bills and so forth.
We have a few more weeks yet before they go into the veto days, and then they'll come back for a couple of days in April for some frantic activity. Where we are now on the budget is the budget was just introduced yesterday in the House. It'll go to committee. They'll do, no doubt, myriad changes to the plan. Then they'll send it to the Senate, who will also do myriad changes and pass their version. At that point, it'll have to go to conference committee, which is often closed door, behind-the-scenes things where they try to hammer together agreement that most people can live with.
So when is the session? It goes up until what, April?
There's a couple of final days in mid-April. It's like a two-day period where they'll ram through as many bills as possible.
As I mentioned in the intro, there were a lot of bills introduced, 219 in the Senate and 613 in the House for a combined total of 832 bills. So there's no shortage of bills. Now, a lot of those, I say a lot, but some of those have been since withdrawn, and there are just a myriad, of bills that are meaningless whenever you get down to it. But nonetheless, we're talking about more than 800 bills regardless. And so the book, we'll never see the light of day, and others that may need another year or so in the General Assembly, and then those that do have a serious chance. And we do have a handful of bills that have already reached the governor's desk. Jim, talk about some of the other bills that you've written about, or maybe some of the that we should be aware of as the legislature moves along.
One bill that would certainly affect Davis County would be judicial redistricting. There are several judicial districts throughout the state where, for one reason or another, they don't have enough judges to handle the workload. One of those is Davis County. We have one family court judge where all the statistics show that we desperately need two. And we have one, Judge Gordon is doing the work of about one and a half judges, and family law is the fastest growing area in the state. So what Chief Justice Mitten proposes is that our judicial district would change, and we'd bring Hancock County in. So we'd be Davis and Hancock together. They'll take another district judge out of another district and convert that into a family judgeship here. So we would have two family court judges for Davis and Hancock as opposed to just one for just us.
So does that have any real traction that you can see?
Well, the Senate passed a statewide redistricting bill last year. It went nowhere in the House, so Judge Mitten came back this time and said, these are the 10 districts that we absolutely must have this year. If you won't do anything else, please do these 10. I know that the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Senator Westerfield, was going to bring forth a bill, or perhaps Senator Schickel, who's been an advocate for redistricting for years. So there's a lot of support for it in the Senate. It's just a matter of where the House comes down.
So any other bills that you know of that are out there that may be of some interest?
The crime bills in the House and the Senate are pretty important in that they would raise the dollar amount for when a person could be convicted of say, theft by unlawful taking or receiving stolen property. Currently, you get a Class D felony right now if it's over $500. That amount would go up to $1,000, which seemed to be the amount that everyone could live with, although some other states do it much higher, as high as $2,000. That bill also, or the Senate bill, also includes several provisions in there for women in incarceration. There are some other crime bills that probably won't go anywhere simply because they've been, the sponsors are Democrats. There's an expungement bill. There's a bill to change several felonies to what they call gross misdemeanors, so you wouldn't have a felony record at all. Whether those get called is anyone's guess. I mean, I'm not super duper familiar with this bill, but one of our representatives, Jim Gooch, is championing what they call the net metering bill. Apparently, if you have solar panels on your house, the utility company has to buy that back from you. Representative Gooch wants to lower the amount that you would get for that. He says it's a fairness issue because the utility pays all the distribution costs, et cetera. That bill went to the full House and has just kind of sat there. Last I heard, there wasn't any indication as to when or if that was going to move.
And that will wrap up our show for this week. I want to thank State Government and Crime Reporter Jim Mays and City Government Reporter Austin Ramsey for joining me. To send us questions or to provide feedback, email us at newscast@messenger-inquirer.com. And remember, you can find us on the Messenger Inquirer's website, its mobile app, and iTunes, where you can subscribe to Inquirer. Until next time, I'm Don Wilkins saying good day for Inquirer.